Good morning. I'd like to greet you in the name of Jesus. It's been a pleasure to be here this morning. The last time I was here is about 7 years ago, so I don't remember your faces very well. But just to come here and to be with God's people, it's a joy. And the songs we sang, it just lifted up my soul again to our God. And just the thoughts came to my mind. We know how gravity works, and we know that without God, we seem to sink. And when we have that relationship with God, or we have worship together, it brings life. Why don't we rise to our feet, and we'll begin with prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for this morning. We thank you, God, that you are God and you're in control. And Father, we thank you this morning that this whole life is all about God. It's all about our Creator. And Father, we just pray that clear our minds this morning that we would see God, that we would see for who you are. And Father, that we would see thy goodness and thy greatness, Father. That we also would see the danger of drawing away from our God, Father. I pray that we would lift up the name of Jesus this morning. Help us, Father, to maintain a pure life, God. And Lord, as we sang, that we will dwell in the tabernacle of our God forever. May that be our testimony, our desires, and our focus. In Jesus' name, amen. I think I preach more up north in the native probably than I do at home. And sometimes it seems like it's easier to go out in the foreign and to the sticks and preach the word of God sometimes than it is to our people. But and brothers sometimes remind me to preach at home the way you do up north. And so the Bible says where the Spirit of God is, there's liberty. And I pray that there will be liberty this morning. That God's Spirit would move among us and somehow that we will be free, free indeed. Just before I begin, I just like to share a bit where I'm from. We go to the Arbroath church that I think it was born about 10 years ago, and shortly thereafter I started attending, got married a few years later. We have now, I think there's 35 families that are attending the church, or 38, somewhere there. Few people that haven't committed, few people that haven't made their decisions yet. God is working mightily, I would say, in our group, and just want to testify this morning that, I think we can go to every believer, every group, every church. There will be things, that need to be worked out. There will be things that you and I need to work out in our very own lives. And it seemed like we've had many families coming into our midst that we had no idea where they came from. They brought nothing but disaster into the church, but somehow God has been very mightily working in our midst in that way that it seems like if they didn't have the Spirit of God, either they confessed and came to the Lord, or else they rejected Christ and move on with their own lives. We had a family in the last 2 years that they didn't know God. And yet they were very spiritual minded. They were very dressed right, and so one day the church was 2-3 months ago. The church decided to fast for a whole month, and so we did. And I've never seen in my life the power of God working in lives of people when we commit our lives to the Lord and do what He says. And I think fasting is one of the hardest things probably for our flesh, and I think therefore we don't practice it very much. But here, it was, I think, about weeks or 2 weeks later, it was manifested who this couple were. And with that, revival swept through the church. And there were many in the church that confessed their sins. And many of the young men, they openly confessed their sins. And it was just, I could make it a long story, but I'll just tell you where God is, there is liberty. And if we want God in our lives, then God will work in us, and we will feel His presence, and we'll know His presence, and we will know who God is. It's not about us. It's how we yield our lives to God and how we commit our lives to God. And I was thinking those songs that we sang. We sang about us drawing away from God and how God is there to help us, restore us back to Him, how He's willing to do all those things. And it seems like sometimes we hardly can grasp that forgiveness, the way we treat our fellow brothers. And it seems like sometimes year after year after year, we're carrying on some kind of ill feelings when Christ is the opposite. So that is just a short testimony. I want to share a few testimonies of my very own life and just how God has been working in my very own life, just for a testimony. And as I was sitting there in the benches, a few verses came to me, and I believe that's part of my heart this morning. If you can just turn your Bibles to Psalm 36. I'll start reading verse 5 and to the end of Psalm 36. It says, "The mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and the faithfulness reaches unto the clouds. The righteousness is like the great mountains. The judgment are a great deep, O Lord. Thou preservest man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of man put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. And they shall be abundantly satisfied with fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life, in thy light shall we see light." I just want to note verse 9. It says, "In thy light shall we see light." If you have God's light in you, you will be able to pass on that light. If that light of God is not in you, you can do all the right things. That light will not go on. It'll be darkness. In verse 10 it says, "O continue thy loving kindness unto thee that know thee, and thy righteousness unto the upright in heart. Let not thy foot of pride come against thee, and let not the hand of the wicked remove thee. There are the workers of iniquity fallen, they are cast down and shall not be able to rise." To me, this is both sides. We love to dwell on the love of God. And I think somewhere, and that should be our heart, it should be our mind, it should be our life. But we also need to see the great danger that there is of us pulling away from God. And these things, they come so slick into our lives that we don't even notice them. And off we go down the path. "But for thee is the fountain of life." And I trust that that's where you're here this morning, because you want to see, you want to be fed on that mountain, that eternal life. I want to talk this morning a little bit about the crown that God will give you and me. And that's been rejoicing in my heart to meditate on that. And if I don't make sense, then bear with me. If I do make sense, then praise God. Many years ago, I visited the Tower of London in England, and here we saw different things. We saw the prison where the Christian had suffered, and in other parts of that whole building, there were crowns behind this glass, and they were dust-free. And just, I marvel at these crowns. They were made back in the 1600s, 1500s perhaps. And they looked so, so beautiful. They were sparkling. They were there was no dust on them. And just beautiful, beautiful crowns. And I ponder upon these men. These were great men of old that all live a life like you and I. And they have gone. And as we know, that most of those men made bad choices in their lives. That was a beautiful crown that men wore while they were here on earth. But I want to think this morning of the crown of Jesus Christ, the crown that He wore on His head that men put on Him. It wasn't put on by Himself, but men put that crown of thorn on the Lord Jesus. just when I preach, I like to make our destiny or our road to our destiny. I want all of us to realize there's a vast difference. And that's if you forget everything that I say. But I want you to remember that the road to glory is a vast different road than the road to hell. So therefore, the Christian life is contrary to our fleshly desires and the world, what it has to offer. It's totally the opposite. And I think it's very good to check our lives and to see where our motives are, our desires, our being. We know that God looks at the heart of man, and we see the outer things. And you know, I was telling my brother-in-law, it's just, you know, we've had these a brother in the church that live a defeated, sinful life for years and years and years. And he confessed to me the other day that he had been lying to me all these years. I've been asking him, praying with him countless times, counseling him for two brothers, and they were not real. They both confessed that they've been lying all these years, and we used them because they looked so godly. We used them because they were such a encouragement to our younger young people, and here they were living a defeated life year after year. I came to the conclusion that the Word of God must be preached at all times, and we cannot assume that our group is godly and they're just swimming to heaven. We cannot play in that way, because the Word of God must be preached. If you're rejoicing this morning in the Lord, praise God. But if not, you can be. That's the beauty of the Christian life. There's no blocks, there's no walls that will block you from serving the Lord Jesus Christ. But often we put blocks in our way and allow them to remain there and year after year. And so me have that. May we fulfill that verse that I was quoting this morning, where the Spirit of God is, there is liberty. You know, you come to the end of life, and you are wearing that crown of thorns on your head, and just imagine to exchange that for a crown of life. It's called a crown of life that will never, never end. And I'm looking forward for that. And I, you know, I was driving this morning along here, and I've never seen so many buggies on the road going to church. And in Manitoba, you don't see those things. And those cars, and you know, in Terry, you go to towns and you see all kinds of church people, like just left and right, and some very little sign of it, some more, some look very, very sat back and whatever. But as we were driving this morning, and I'm not running those horse and buggy people down, not at all. But however, I was telling my wife, some of those people carry their filthy heart to church Sunday after Sunday. Nothing changed. And so are other people. But just came to my mind that how people can go to church Sunday after Sunday and their hearts is not being changed. And the Bible says that we shall be changed from glory to glory. And that is a constantly changing. And there is a constantly that God will show you again one more thing that He needs to change in your life. And I pray, this is my prayer always in my life, that God will open my life. God will change my life. And that year after year, that my life will be changed. And it's so sad when I see people that never change. They seem to be just, I will just say they're the backbenchers. And those, we have few of those. And then you deal with them and you know, you see they have sin in their life and they're not willing to deal with them. And many years ago, when I started coming to church, I said, Lord, this is where I am. Put me to work. Put me to work for thy glory. And I tell you, God changed my life. It wasn't me. But I gave myself to him, and I told him, this is where I am, and this is where I want to put my whole life into it. And God has blessed it. God has worked in that way, that I could serve him, be a servant of the Lord. Let's turn to John 19, verse 5. You know, when God taps on your shoulder, it's not an easy thing. And I'll share my testimony a little bit later. But it seems that when God just taps on your own very own shoulder, it's surprising to us sometimes, because he should be tapping on somebody else's shoulder. And so it's humbling. But I think we should all glorify God when he does that. We know that God is at work, and you have a relationship with God, and you can again realize that God is a very jealous God over your very own soul, and that he wants every corner of your life, everything that is in your life, he wants to be part of. Gospel John 19, verse 5. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said unto him, behold the man. I don't know what stands out to you in these verses, but just simply that, you know, these thorns were put on Christ, and Christ was willing to face his very own people. Not being ashamed, but his very own people caused that crown to be on his head, and he went forth and met his very own people wearing the crown of thorns. And what did Pilate say? Behold the man. And to me, that thought, behold the man, it's been ringing through my mind, it's been ringing through my heart. It's behold the man. And you, if the Lord Jesus lives in your heart, the world will say, behold the man, behold the woman. There's something beauty here. There's something, they see more than your face. They see more than your life. They see Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that therefore they will glorify God. And that's the beauty of maintaining a relationship with Jesus Christ and having him, living him in your heart. The world will see it. They will not see your life. They will not see you pretending to be something good, but they will see that Christ lives in this person. And they will watch you, and they will see, behold the man. Are you that man that the world looks to? And they look beyond your heart. They look beyond your life, but they see the Creator. They see something very beautiful. You know, I see some people, they're so watchful over their lives that they act right, they do right. You don't have to do it. If Christ lives in you, it will speak for itself. So let's just remember that. And you know, do we fit into the Word of God? You know, I often think, I was thinking this morning, you know, sometimes we have our differences. We love to argue about things that don't even matter in God's eyes. Just when you sing songs, it's just a united singing. Everyone at the same word, same tune, most likely. And that's how we sing. Some in our brother meeting, then it's a little different sometimes. And just may we have just that unity. Together we praise God. Together we worship God. And, you know, I think a very bold person sometimes, and I say what's on my mind, and then it gets me in trouble. And I'll share my testimony later on. We can do those things. But if they are not from the love, driven from the love of Jesus Christ, We're hurting each other. We're tormenting each other. But if that is the heart of God, and you realize that you've been admonished, and you see later this brother or sister is continually to love you, continually to pray for you, then all of a sudden you know it's not just a path where you cross each other. It's more than that. It's a restoring, and I think that's the heart of Christ, where we speak into each other's lives is with the love of the Lord Jesus. We can speak into each other's lives. It works. It helps. The dross is coming out, and we're revealing our hearts and so on. And God has been able to do those things in my very own life, that the dross is coming out, and here I need to work with them, and I didn't know that they exist. So let's remember that. Does the world look at your life, and do they see, do they say, behold the man? I can only thank God and glorify Him this morning of the work He is doing in man's lives and my life. And here, I watch the Lord Jesus. I see His life, I read about Him, and He was willing to face all of this. He was willing to go to the very own, to His very own death, and not resisting. It was fine with Him if His very own people would mock Him. It was fine with Him that His people would put Him to death, who He died for. You know, that crown of thorns is very undesirable to the flesh. It's very, very undesirable to our human liking. But if we think of that in light of eternity, those things become very dim. The world is growing strangely dim. I remember years ago when I lived at home, and my dad was very much against sports, and I think some of us remember that. We would slip out in the evenings and we'd be gone, and my dad didn't know where we were. And here we were playing games with the world and with their people. And just looking back, I always say this, that I know what those people were saying all the time. Like, there was a voice that always said, you don't belong here, you don't belong here. And I could hardly enjoy those moments, because that voice was ringing over and over again. Those people were telling me, in their mind, you don't belong here. But you know, when I surrendered my whole life to the Lord Jesus Christ, somehow that desire was gone. That desire was gone. And sometimes it's easy for me to be hard on those people, but I remember that I was part of that life and I didn't see it. So I think that's where I see of God's grace, I see of God's loving kindness and His outstretched arms to me during all this time. And I want to extend that grace to others, that until we have surrendered all to the altar, those things will grow strangely dim. You know, I think of the road to heaven and the road to hell, how different they are. And you know, it was very good for me to, you know, we had a few things happening in our family life. I'm sure you heard about it. We had, well, years ago, one of my first cousins committed suicide because he had borrowed out a lot of money, and he couldn't see losing all that money. So one morning, he committed suicide because he couldn't see and let those things go. And then you see later on, the same thing happened again, where my nephew committed suicide and lived in the depth of sin and ended up in a very hurtful, painful experience for all of us. And then another story I want to tell you about was digging through my office the other day, and I found this paper that my dad gave me years ago. It was one of my ancestors, I don't know how far back, but I think it was Dad's great-grandfather. He was a devoted man. He loved God, and he was put his whole life into the church and to serve God and all of that. But he grew old and he was on his deathbed, and And his daughter was watching him. They were watching him day and night. And she got wearied, she got tired, she got up from the bad side and she looked out the window and she saw this chariot coming from the sky. And she was blinded after the sight. It was the chariot hit the ground and with great lightning and she went back to her dad's bad side and he was passed on to eternal home. And so that is another thing that we need to have a balance in all this, but we need to see that there's reality. There's those that made bad choices, and there's those that yield their life and heart to the service of God. And what difference that'll be in the end. You know, I believe the more we get a vision of heaven, and we could say the more we get a vision of Jesus Christ, the more things will be clear in our lives, and the more we will be fit of even God will be able to use you more and more in this life if you have a true vision of heaven. And if the more we get a true vision of hell, it also it works in our lives. And I don't know if I can explain it, but it draws you to serve Him. It draws you to work for the kingdom of God, not in fear. Some people are driven by fear, but serving Jesus Christ is nothing but a rejoicing experience. And even if pain goes through our lives and we look back and we see the hand of God did another work in our lives, and it is so noteworthy, and it's so such a thing to just give Him thanks. You know, the suffering of Christ, if that gets a hold of your heart and my heart, I believe we'll learn to suffer as well. I believe that we will let our rights go. We have no rights. My wife told me that years ago, we as believers have no rights. And surely we do. If somebody offends you, you sure have a right to tell them a few things. If somebody misuses you, you sure have a right to fight back. If somebody borrows money from you and never pays back, surely we have a right. And all of these things. And I've learned to just let go. Let go, forgive, and love. And, you know, sometimes those things take time. It's not just when you have the love of Jesus in your heart and you live for Christ that these things just come automatically. They won't. But you can make a choice in the next 2 weeks to go through this battle and forgive. It is possible, and it works. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6, 22 and 23. Start with 19. It says, "Lay not up for yourself treasure upon the earth, where moth or rust does corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thine whole body be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thine whole body shall be full of darkness. Therefore thy light that is in thee be darkness. How great is that darkness?" Verse 24, it says, "No man can serve two masters." You can serve only one. And that again explains you the jealousy of our God. He is very jealous over your soul. You know, if your treasures and all of that, if that is in heaven, your conversation is in heaven, and if thy whole body is light, how great is that light? If your whole body is full of light, every corner is being taken care of, and every area of life is full of light, how great is that light? And it will not just shine for your path, it will shine for others as well. And you know, if your eye be single, I don't know if I can explain that whole message on its own, but if your eye is single on the Lord Jesus Christ, just the beauty that comes with that, the beauty, the relationship with one another, it is marvelous in its beauty. But many times we have double vision and it's not really working well. May God help us to that we are single eye on Christ. Our destinations, our goals, our choices are all committed and all made with single eye. And then if you go over to Matthew 10:28, Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy body and soul in hell. Just again, take note of that verse. The world, Satan, and Satan's servants that he sends among the churches are there to destroy your soul and body. Satan wants us to get discouraged over a little thing. Now, if you fall into discouragement and you go back and realize where that started, it is sometimes, it's embarrassing. It's really embarrassing sometimes when you think where that started. But that's how Satan likes to draw us away from the presence of God. And somebody preached the other day in church, and he was preaching about the joy of the Lord. And he said that joy is the first one to go. And it says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And that's often the first one that we let go. And if we maintain the joy of the Lord in our hearts, there will be strength, there will be power that God will give you to overcome, to love, and to maintain a godly life. Okay, Matthew 26:41. Matthew 26:41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Verse 40 it says, and he that cometh unto disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what could ye not watch for 1 hour? You know, as I look across the world, as I look across, you know, see the churches, see the individual lives, and see the false doctrine that are out there. And this has been also going through my mind in the last couple of weeks. We all would admit that we live in perilous times. Or who doesn't agree here? Aren't we all living in perilous times? Here we are, knowing that we live in perilous times. So what do you need in perilous times? Just leave each other alone? Live our own lives? Do what I want, please ourselves. Well, that's the doctrine that we have today. That's the doctrine that's being preached from pulpits. That's the doctrine that I love to cling on when I think of my fleshly desires. It's just to leave me alone. And that is so far from what God is teaching in the New Testament. It is so far what Paul is writing in his letters, exhorting one another daily, daily. It burdens me sometimes so much when I shared this a couple of days ago, but we had a brother in meeting, and there was one brother, he just kept on talking and talking and taking up time, and he thought he had it all together, and finally I was moderating, and I said, brother, can you let others also share their hearts? Guess what happened? He got up and out the door and home. How much does he know Jesus Christ? How much does he know The Lord Jesus Christ, who's been stripped from everything in this world, and he was put to death. And, you know, I've been thinking of these things. Like, how much do we know Jesus Christ that left everything, was stripped of everything for you and me? And I cannot remind a brother just to give somebody else a chance, and he's so angry. Praise God, he confessed later. But those things are sometimes so burdened in my heart when we know that we live in perilous times, when we know that the Bible says that many shall fall and leave the love of their love for one another. Love, it says love will wax cold. We know all these things, but we want nobody to tap on our shoulders. Do we belong in the church or do we belong out there in the world? To me, again, I just wanted to bring out the road to glory and the road to hell are vast different. And I know it's very hard. I'll share my testimony that you think that I have it all together. It was a couple of years ago, we went to a neighboring church. They left the EMC church. I don't know what they're called, but they're similar to what we believe. I went to the minister's house after the ordination. We just went there to bless them. And one of the first things is the elder where we were at, and he starts firing questions at me. And I have a very short memory. I don't, I can read the Bible maybe 20 times. And I don't know details. I don't know all of those things. And he starts firing questions at me. And it got me. I figured, this is not how we visit. This is not how we start talking. And finally, you know, I told him, I need to go. I have another place to visit. And they expect us to be there. And so I left that home. And I thoughts went to my mind. What do you think who you are? Like, you think you're so godly. You think you're so spiritually and you have it all together. By the way, he's a teacher, so he does have time to memorize things. And I was very offended. I just say it the way it is. I was very offended. I'm not going to visit this home again. And you know what the next thing was? I was not blessed at all. I wasn't blessed one bit at his home. And so, you know, as we go home, we leave that place, you know how we grumble and complain to our wives about the situation. And it's just really bad. But, you know, in all this, I knew that he was 100%. God wanted me to get familiar with the Bible. But, you know, I could have ignored that still voice that was there. I could have said no to that voice. And you know, to this day, I probably would hate that brother. To this day, I would probably dislike him. And I probably would still never want to go to his home again. But God showed me. And it was very, just like the Bible says, it was a still voice that you can easily quench or you can easily open your heart to. And so it took me a while to get this over my heart and to find truly a love for him. But the day came that God put it on my heart. Look at the world. You know, I can stand in my shop and my foreman can talk for 1 hour straight about his boy playing and trying to get into NHL games. And he knows the details. He knows everything. I can imagine he can talk for 4 hours straight. Just, he's so into this. And then the thought came to me, how much do I know God? How much do I know the detail of the Bible, the detail of the Spirit of God working in my own lives? And how diligent have I been in studying the Word of God? And if I have one opportunity, I can stand for 4 hours and just share the Word of God. Even to this day, I feel very humble. With humbleness, I say this. I don't do that. I don't have that. But may God continue to work in our lives that this is life. This is life what we have. What else is out of the world, it's all death. It will bring death. And so we have the living Word of God. And with very little time that we have, you know how our busyness is in summer. You seem like you don't have time. And well, I thought one thing I could do is I could buy me one of those iBibles and just listen to the Word of God. I'm just painting. I don't need my brain as much to do what I'm doing. And I could let the Word of God soak in my heart. And I began to do that, and I could sometimes hardly wait to get back and just listen again. Sometimes 8 hours a day, 10 hours a day. And so I finished the Bible 19 times in 1.5 years. And so is that to be angry about that man, what he said way back then? Do we hate him for what he said? Do we hate him for how he encourages me? Praise God. God used him. And now it feels like I just have a little scratch of knowing the Bible. But I always say this, and you may not agree with me, but I think under every offense, there's a still voice. Paul says that I have offended many. And what did Jesus say? The very same thing. He had offended many people. And if we hear to that still voice that is ringing there, that God is again extending his love and his mercy to us and his forgiveness, desiring to just draw us back to him. It is beautiful, it is marvelous, and it's something that you and I should desire. We should desire these things. And how scary would it be if you knew that nothing, that your conscience was gone? How scary would it be if nothing hurt you anymore? And your soul, everything was fine, everything went with flow. And one day he would realize that the Spirit of God had departed. How sad would that be? You know, that's a place where you never want to be, and if you haven't. And I remember years ago, many, many years ago, I became careless in my Christian life, and it seemed like slowly, slowly, my spiritual life became weaker and weaker and weaker. And I found that it was very hard to resist sin anymore. It was very hard to say no to the flesh. And the day came, it was impossible. I could not say no to sin. I could not resist lust. I could not do these things. And to this day, I can share my testimony. It's still very fresh in my mind. The Spirit of God had departed from my life. And I'm not joking. I was desperate. I was fearful. As never in my life have I been so fearful as in that dreary, dark night when the Spirit of God had departed. And it was a long road back again to where I felt and I knew that Christ was part of my life again. But I praise God. He says, if ye shall call upon the name of the Lord, ye shall be saved. And God had extended his mercy to me. God had extended his love to me and his life. You know, the life that God gives you, that in itself, it's God's grace. And so let's be sober-minded, as the Bible says, knowing we have a destiny, we have a place where you and I will live for all eternity. This life is only but a moment. It's only a short time, and then our soul will be for all eternity. And will we make a difference? Will we make a difference in this life for eternity? That is my burden, and that is my heart, that, you know, when you are with brothers, you are with sisters, that each of you can leave encouraged. That each time you've been together, you go home and you are so encouraged. You know each one is real with himself. Each one wants to do what is right. I'm not talking about perfectness, but that desire. And I always look at God, how he looks at men. If he sees a desire in your life, a desire of holiness, a desire of serving God, and wanting the best for each other. And that's what I desire, is the best for each other, that no one will come to those pearly gates and being rejected. That awful feeling, having thinking that you did the right things, and then coming to the end of the road, and there is no crown of life there for you. Many shall say, Lord, Lord, haven't we done? Haven't we served? Haven't we cast out devils? Haven't we done all these things for thy name's sake? And God will say, depart, you don't know me. And your very heart, and in our very heart, we knew that we weren't right with God. And yet it's so easy for our flesh to pretend. My daughter always plays, and she often says, I'm pretending even if it's real. So may we be real with God and just serve him with all of our hearts. If I can find this, I had a very interesting thing happen in my life, and a couple of months ago, if I can't find it, I'll say it. I came home from one brother meeting, and somehow it seemed that my spirit was not quite joyful. It seemed like somehow the joy wasn't quite there, and I had a miserable night, and I came to work with headaches, and here was a black man. He's originally from Trinidad, and at 6 in the morning, when you still feel like not talking perhaps, and he comes and he says, I have something for you, and says, what, well, you know, I was wondering, what do you have for me? He said, read this, and so I did. And from that moment, I knew it was God. It wasn't the black man just coming up with an idea. And I share this not because God is doing great things in my life, but I share this because when God speaks through my very own life, that is it's beautiful. And the title itself, the interesting thing is this was a letter that was written in 1874 for encouragement to a minister. And just the message in it, maybe you will not agree with everything that says in the letter, but the message, and the title was Put Self Out of Sight, and I thought that was an interesting thing to read in itself, Put Self Out of Sight. And then the verse that was given is, we glory in tribulation, also knowing that tribulation worketh patient, and patient experience, and experience hope. You know, that's just a message in itself. If you serve the Lord and you walk faithfully in the Lord, you will grow from glory to glory. As it says, tribulation will just bring you to the next step, and it will bring patience in your life and experience. And all your experience in the path that just creates or builds up a hope for eternal life. So it's beautiful. And then it goes like this. The experience gained in the furnace of trial and affliction is worth more than the inconvenience and painful experience at all costs. The prayers you offered in your loneliness and your weariness and trial, God answered, as you could bear it. You did not have clear and correct views of your brethren, neither did you see yourself in a correct light. But in the providence of God, He has been able at work to answer the prayers you have offered in your distress in a way to save you and glorify His own name. In your ignorance of yourself, you ask for things which were not the best for you. God hears your prayers of sincerity, but the blessing granted is something very different from your expectation. God designed to place you in His providence in connection with His church more directly. That your confidence should be less in yourself and greater in others, whom He is leading out to extend His work. It is God that has led you through straight places. He had a purpose in this, that tribulation might work in you patient experience and experience hope. The trial He has permitted to come upon you were that through the experience of these you would experience the peaceably fruit of righteousness. God would lead you through affliction and trials that you might have more perfect trust and confidence in Him, and that you might think less of your own judgment, that you can bear adversity better than prosperity. An all-seeing eye of Jehovah detected you much dross. that you consider gold too valuable to throw away. The enemy's powers over you had at times been direct and very strong. Your will must be molded by God's will, or you will fall into grievous temptations. I saw that when you labor in God, putting self out of sight, you will realize a strength from God that you will give your access to hearts. You are not always kindly considered of the feelings of others, and you create trials and dissatisfaction, all needlessly more love in your labors, more kindly sympathy would give you access to hearts and win souls for Christ and the truth. And I could not say that I know it was written that I could see myself so very directly. You know, we say the right things and we do desire the right things, but what does God see? Does God see gold in your life, what he considers, or do you see gold in your life, what God considers dross? And just the last part, and you know, I was so touched by God, and I went home and I told my wife that I want to read this to you. She says, I feel greatly moved by God. And you know what she did? She smiled a bit, and I figured, you're not taking this very seriously. Well, she said she had almost prayed word for word what I found in this letter. And that was the beauty of it all, that God hears prayers. God hears, and he will answer, and he will mold you, and he will shape you, and he will bring forth gold in your life, and he will cleanse us, and he will take the dross out of our lives and make us more and more to the image of God. May God richly bless you and serving you. We may not see each other again, but I have this hope that if you're a firm believer, and I'm a firm believer, we'll hold unto the end, we will meet at one place for all eternity. There's a verse in Genesis that has been a blessing to me, and I think that's a need of our lives. In Genesis 4, verse 7, it's just where Cain and Abel living their lives. But it says in verse 7, "If thou dost well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou dost not well, sin lieth at the door." And if you serve Jesus Christ with sincerity, you will be accepted. And if you're not doing well, sin lies at the door. That means there will be pressure. And to me, that was an eye-opener of my very own life. If thou dost well, thou shalt be accepted. But if thou dost not well, sin lieth at the door. So may God bless you.